Is it the policy of the DOJ to provide advance notice to subjects before conducting a search for evidence?
I know this is no hypothetical, and I don't know the facts of this case, and I don't know what happened. And I believe the events you're talking about, as reported in the press, occurred under the previous administration.
You keep saying, I don't know what happened there, but I'm going to opine when it happened. Do you see the fallacy of that, the inconsistencies? I don't know when it happened. I don't know what happened because I'm not involved, but it happened under the previous administration.
I'm going to speak to Congressman Andy Biggs in just a moment, but first, let's go to the president of Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton, and former acting attorney general, Matthew Whitaker. Thank you both for being here.
Good evening.
Good to see you.
Matthew, you once held the same office. What are your impressions of how Garland answered questions today?
Well, and I've been in that chair. I was in front of the House Judiciary Committee when I was President Trump's acting attorney general. You know, it is oftentimes described as the bar scene from Star Wars because of just how undisciplined many of those Democrat House members are. But, you know, this was political theater, to your point. You know, these representatives all played their part. Merrick Garland, you know, gave nothing in return. He didn't seem to have any responsibility for the Department of Justice that he manages. Seems to be a bystander, observing as things are happening, paying attention to what's in the news, but not having any reporting from who he's got out deployed in the field. It's, you know, Merrick Garland is not a good attorney general. I will say that right now. And, you know, he did a disservice to the United States of America when he, you know, was avoiding actually answering real questions.
Well, if only all this was as fun to watch as Star Wars. Tom, I want you to take a listen to Adam Schiff today.
Mr. Jordan hopes to camouflage his assault on the rule of law by falsely claiming that Donald Trump is the victim of unequal justice and Hunter Biden its beneficiary. It is a claim as transparently political as it is devoid of any factual basis. And it is cynical, based on the belief that the American people cannot discern fact from fiction.
Adam Schiff has done more to blur fact and fiction than probably anyone else in history. He lied to the American people for years about having direct evidence that Donald Trump was a Russian agent. What do you make of this, Tom?
Well, truth is a stranger to virtually everything Adam Schiff does. And in this specific instance, we have sworn testimony from IRS agents that there was interference and obstruction in the Hunter Biden investigations. We have unprecedented charges against Donald Trump. Indeed, the gun charges that were just filed about Hunter a few weeks ago, the Justice Department was willing to let go with no charges at all, and then they got called out by a federal court judge. So we have evidence after evidence of interference in the investigations of Hunter Biden, while you have a really radical case or cases being brought against Donald Trump on the eve of the election. The American people have concluded otherwise, and, you know, Garland thinks he can get away with non-answers, and, you know, it's probably a safe bet given that Congress is on the verge of giving the Justice Department the full budget it typically gets every year, with virtually no curtailing of their abuses or accountability for what they've done to date.
Matthew, Garland and Democrats today made several mentions about not singling out public service officials. We've identified several officials who were clearly acting in a partisan manner. Never forget when Peter Strzok texted his lover, Lisa Page, that they would stop Trump. Is he really supposed to get a free pass on that?
No, and remember, you know, the House is going to be doing this impeachment inquiry, and they're going to issue several subpoenas that are going to be ignored. And, you know, Merrick Garland is not going to hold those people in contempt like they did Peter Navarro or Steve Bannon. And at the same time, you know, I want to compare and contrast. You know, they are throwing the full book and, to Tom's point, novel legal theories at Donald Trump. And at the same time, they're trying to get the most minimally applicable statutes and to charge them against Hunter Biden. And so the two-tiered system of justice is glaring us in the face. And the fact that Merrick Garland doesn't see it just shows you how partisan he has become as attorney general.
Tom, now that David Weiss has special counsel status, what do you think will happen?
Well, there are two things that could happen. Either this is the end, meaning that this is going to be the final case against Hunter Biden, and Joe Biden will get the political favor of moving all of that to the side as he enters the election, or it's the beginning and there's going to be a full investigation into Hunter's tax problems and the monies that flowed into the Biden corruption racket, the racketeering operation, and we'll get some justice. But based on past experiences, I would suggest we're not going to see much beyond this prosecution of Hunter. And Hunter, in many ways, is being a little bit feel sorry for him. He's being thrown under the bus by the Biden regime as they try desperately to cling to power. And, you know, Hunter, for the problem for the Biden administration is Hunter's not going to go quietly. And he's calling out the Justice Department for politics, too. So, boy, it's interesting how people's views shift depending on whether they're in the Justice Department's sights or directing the Justice Department towards their enemies.
Matthew, a lot of questioning today centered around David Weiss's ability to bring charges against Hunter in outside jurisdictions. In the past, Garland always said Weiss had full authority to bring charges in any jurisdiction he wanted. Here's what he said today.
I made clear that if he wanted to bring a case in any jurisdiction, he would be able to do that. The way you do that is to get an order signed by the Attorney General called a 515 order. I promised he would be able to do that, and he, in his letters, made clear he understood he would be able to do that.
Now, that's very specific phrasing. He says it in a way that sounds like Weiss gets to tell the AGs in other jurisdictions that he's bringing charges. What it actually means is that he has to ask them to bring charges. One of the whistleblowers testified that the Biden-appointed AGs in California and D.C. denied Weiss. Does that kind of phrasing amount to a lie?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, if you look at exactly what he's saying what he said in the past, and that's Merrick Garland, was not true. And we all knew that wasn't true based on how this was going down. But remember, this has all been an attempt to run out the clock on the most serious charges facing Hunter Biden. And it has all been part of a scheme. And whether it's been an obvious overt scheme or whether it was just understood by everybody involved that this was the way that they were going to get Hunter through to the other side. But, you know, now that it blew up in their face and they're trying to, again, get the most, the minimal charges that satisfy the American people that want justice in that case and to try to politically live another day, you know, they're like you said, they're throwing Hunter under the bus with these charges. He should be facing more and with FARA charges and Foreign Corrupt Practices Act together with the tax charges that really should be felonies and not misdemeanors. So this is Merrick Garland just trying to square a circle.
Tom, I'll finish with you. What do you think is the end goal here? Why do you think that these people have this agenda with everything that they're doing?
Well, the primary goal is to throw Trump in jail to ensure Biden's reelection or whoever the Democrat turns out to be in terms of being the nominee. I mean, that's the goal. And the question is, are Republicans going to sit by and honest Democrats in the House in this budget fight and let it happen, or in the impeachment inquiry? To me, this is another reason why the impeachment inquiries should be broadened to include individuals like Garland. I think Garland and Biden are two peas in a pod in terms of misusing Justice Department and federal resources to target their political enemies. And Garland's dishonesty today, his refusal to cooperate with Congress, his contempt for Congress, certainly warrants impeachment. Never before in American history do we have the sort of charges being brought before, the weak tea charges that are being brought before a grand jury and courts, as we're seeing with Donald Trump. And it's so obviously political, we can't tolerate it if we're going to continue as a republic that, you know, presumably tries to follow the rule of law.
I think you're exactly right, Tom. Tom Fitton and Matthew Whitaker, thank you so much.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Coming up, Bidenomics in action. The Federal Reserve pauses rate hikes as a major bank predicts